now. It's only now. The gift that God gives us is life now. This is true for each of us. It's also true for this congregation. But there's some, it's now that you are being sustained. Israel went through many wonderful and difficult experiences. Our text this morning from Isaiah 43 and Psalm 126 used the imagery of water to describe what God has done. In the Isaiah passage, water is the means for God's judgment and protection. Judgment on the horses. It's very sad to think of them being drowned. Judgment on the armies of Egypt, and judgment and protection for the people of Israel. God drowned the Egyptian army in the torrents of the Red Sea. Then, lack of water was the problem in the desert. And God made a fresh source of water in the desert where there was no running water. In the Psalms passage, the Israelites who are climbing to Jerusalem for a festival, this is called one of the Psalms of Ascent, they're filled with joy at a good harvest. They remember when they were given water in the desert just to drink, to be sustained. Water is now the means for their food. The manna stopped, and they were able to plant and harvest yearly, but the water sustains their harvest. Now, this is the last Sunday that we're going to be reading all four of the lectionary passages. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We'll be going back into more of a contemporary service. And we're so thankful for Christine. And today she is still playing the music that other people have selected, but she will be playing the music that she brings with her beginning next Sunday. We're just so thankful for her ministry with us. So today we've got all four of them, and I don't know what it was like for you to hear all four of them. One of them was acted out, and there's the four Gospels each have the story of the anointing. The one that Eloise based the story time on is not the one. The John one is in the lectionary for today, but it's the same story. So we saw the story acted out in front of our eyes. Each of the Gospels tells a story of a woman anointing Jesus with costly nard. This is the hairy root of nard. It's called spikenard, and apparently it's grown in the mountains of northern India. There was a robust international trade even in the days in the Mediterranean area, there was that, and the Silk Road. And I don't really know what nard smells like, but this would have filled the house. You know, somebody comes in with a heavy cologne, or you come in the door, and you know that our brother has been cleaning, because you can smell it's clean. It's just, wow, it's just so clean. So this nard would have filled the house where they were. I looked it up. It says it's musty, it's musky, it's an intense balsamic note, sounds like wine, right? Intense balsamic notes, warm, in relation to the order of hummus. So it's not going to be like your roses and stuff. It's a very deep, earthy kind of a smell that would have filled the sanctuary. And in the different Gospels, it's either in the Mary and Martha, different places, but she anoints him. And Eloise asked Abel's wife to be the woman, because it's a little sensual, right? She's either his feet or his hair, she's touching him. And if it wasn't his wife, we'd be like, just kind of uncomfortable. And apparently, that's the way the people felt, like Eric said, get away from him, get away from him. This is not an appropriate. We're looking at something really extravagant and something that's just a little bit, could you just keep a lid on it? It's just a little bit over the top, and the smell is overwhelming. And this is the situation where Jesus is. Now Judas complains because he wanted to skim the cash offering. It's 300 days wages for people who are paid daily. Do you understand? This is not the CEO. This is somebody who's paid wages. So I'm not really a math person, but the minimum hourly wage for Pennsylvania is $7.25 an hour. If you work 8 hours, that should be $58 daily.
Yes.
And if my math is wrong, forgive me, this is all just done here. $58 a day for 300 days would be $17,400.
Yeah.
Now, that's very expensive perfume, even if you're a rich person. But this is not the wages, this is not the leftover, oh yes, I have 7 varieties of perfume, let me take one off the shelf. This is precious, precious money, the sweat of your brow, and you line up with all the other people working, and you get your wages, your denarius, every day. You save 300 of them.
Ooh, a lot of money.
So this is not, it's really extravagant. It's even more than that. This is unthinkable. This is paid for by the sweat of your brow. It is probably everything you own in the world. $17,400. Jesus says you just can't help yourself. When you realize that you are forgiven for something that was crushing your soul. The woman who has been forgiven moved into her new life, probably using all of her savings. Now, this woman was probably a woman who was working the streets. And sometimes when you're working the streets, you save up so you can do something else. This was her escape route she was saving for many years. And she's so thankful to be treated the way she's treated by Jesus. She splashes it all out on him. This is very unwise, right? This is very unwise. In the meantime, so Jesus says, she's anointing my body for burial. You know, we barely know, we think we know that in a day or a week or a month. 1 week from the time that Jesus was anointed, he's going to be in the tomb. We think we know, you know, I have this much time with my parents, my children are going to be healthy. We think we know, but in 1 week, the whole world is going to change. And this woman, she didn't know. She was anointing his body for his death. The only one there. The disciples are, oh no, you're going to be king. This is going to be great. Let me be your prime minister. But somehow the Holy Spirit led this woman to prepare his body for burial. And in the meantime, Judas brought up the needs of the poor and the duty to give alms. And Jesus says, yes, you do need to share with those in need. And you're welcome to share with them every day of the year because you're going to be surrounded by people who are needy. But Judas, in fact, had sticky fingers, and he felt that he deserved a cut of everything that came through the common purse. And this is a problem, isn't it, for almost all the charitable organizations. This is really, it seems to be a temptation. Just, I deserve a part of this. And it's a very common thing. From another standpoint, this seems to be a very extravagant thing in uncertain economic times. This woman may not have a means of supporting herself in the future if she comes off the streets, and now she's given up all of her savings. But Jesus receives her tearful and joyous thanksgiving. Jesus lives now with her. And we say, well, what about tomorrow? How are you going to live? Jesus will live with her tomorrow. Just as the Israelites moved through deliverance to growing their own food, so shall this woman. And finally, we come to the passage from our friend, our mentor, Paul, who expresses his deepest longings and his fears about being a follower of Christ. So in the writings of Paul, we can find almost every expression of our good side and our bad side of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And here he speaks of high value, like the spikenard. It is life itself that is the precious commodity. It is not the circumstances of our birth or our social or economic status that is precious. And life in the Bible is life with God. When it says, I will give you life, that doesn't mean miserable, groveling life that you're going to live a long time and be miserable. Life in the Bible always means life in the presence of God with peace, love, and joy. However miserable you think you are, we share in his resurrection if we are living with Christ in the kingdom of God. Paul has experienced both sides of the kingdom. He has received the rebuke of Christ. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? And he's also received the praise of Christ. This was the national experience of Israel. That is the experience of those who trust in Christ individually, but especially as a congregation. Being in bondage, being delivered, coming through the desert without the ability or means to focus our lives. We can't even have goals because we can't even formulate it. We can't meet our own needs. And then we're led into a land where the manna stops and we actually want to live together, each doing their part. Even in our own land, of course, the harvest is always from God. We can't control the rain, the weather, natural disasters. We can't stop people from doing foolish things like eating their seed corn over the winter. We can't stop foolish things from happening. We can't control, I'm always going to have enough. We can never make good on that promise to ourselves. The blessings of the kingdom of God while we are still on earth are not because we are special, better than other communities, have a store of righteousness from the past, are now deeper, we're not more faithful than others. And for a congregation like yourself, you are very special, but that's not why God's going to take you forward. He's going to take you forward because you're his people and he loves you and he's going to walk with you. It is the suffering of Christ that we have come to know in the resurrection. We cannot justify ourselves by meticulously recounting the sins and mistakes we have committed. Repentance is moving away from judging ourselves and living in God's presence with Christ, who is the fullest expression of God. Christians have a bad track record of handling power over the weak, of handling money, status, praise, sex, earthly authority. We might think we need more power to handle and eliminate all the evil in the world, but in power, we ourselves become a part of the evil. Whatever gains I had were lost, Paul says. I'm not trying to achieve righteousness, but life that has already begun now and will continue through death. God is calling us forward to live, not because we're special or that we deserve it, because Christ has given us the gift of life itself, something so precious that it's worth everything that we have. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the invitation... And the invitation to you, you're coming forward to be saved, but the invitation to you is